I'm glad I know you. Oh, I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. Oh, yeah. We're one big
family.
Yeah. We lift our head to reach the sky. Ah, Lord, and I am so glad, so glad, so glad. Oh, you gave your life. The Word of God says that God's Word is living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is like a seed that germinates. The Word of God is like a light that illuminates. The Word of God is like a hammer that obliterates. The Word of God is like a sword that penetrates. The Word of God is like water that stimulates. The Word of God is like bread that invigorates. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of our God endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's something about the word of God. The word of God is effectual. The word of God is creative. The word of God is salvific. It saves our souls. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. And I'd like to read verses 47 through 48. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. Luke 12, 47 and 48. If you have that, say amen. Amen. And that servant which knew his master's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I want to read the latter part of that 48th verse again. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I want to talk this morning in a challenging way from the subject, unto whom much is given. Unto whom much is given. Let us never forget about how important Jesus is. He's in a class all by himself. It is said that men mine the earth for great minerals. They smelt copper from ore. They extract precious metals from the bowels of the earth. They dam rivers and cut open mountains as men seek to find the great treasures in life. But the Bible tells us that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. No one can teach us more in depth than Christ. No one can teach us more deeply than Christ. No one has more to say than Christ. Jesus Christ, let us always remember that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let us never forget that Jesus is God in human form. That's why he could say, I'm the way, I'm the truth and the life. That's why he could say that I'm never wrong and not be bragging. Is that all right? That's why he could say, I always got it right. Because I'm God manifested in the flesh. I'm God in human form. Is that all right? I tell you, it's all in Jesus. All in Jesus. He's the rock of salvation. He's the firm foundation. He is the one. He could turn water into wine. He could speak to the winds and the waves. He could heal the sick and open the eyes of the blind. And he is the one that can do things that are just mind blowing. God can do things above all that we can ask or think. So nobody can teach us more accurately, more deeply, more profoundly than Jesus. And we ought to be eager students before the teaching of Christ. Is that all right? Now, in this lesson today, I want to talk about a concept. And historically and contextually, this text is dealing with degrees of punishment. The Bible does teach that in the end there will be degrees of punishment. But if you're smart, you will avoid all punishment. Is that all right? I ain't gonna be messing around here talking about, well, I won't get as many licks. I don't want no licks. Is that all right? Well, there are different degrees of punishment. The Bible says that the servant that knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do it, he shall be beaten with many stripes or many blows. That lets me know there's a real danger in understanding and knowing the will of God and disregarding God's will, ignoring God's will. There's a real danger in sinning in the face of knowledge. There's a real danger in sinning when you know better. Amen. Then, of course, it says that the servant who did not know the master's will but yet did things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with a few stripes. But I don't want to talk about punishment. I want to talk about another principle, and that principle is, unto whom much is given, much is required. And unto whom men have committed the more or much, of him they will require. So in order to understand this lesson, I want you to think about three laws. Number one, the law of the gift is the first point. Number two, the law of expectation is the second idea. And the third and final idea is the law of increase. Now, in order to understand this concept, unto whom much is given, then we have to understand these three laws. Amen? Now, there is the law of the gift. There are some things that all of us have received and we did not earn. Hello? There are some things that we have in our possession that we did not earn. And it's called the law of the gift. Now, a gift is something or someone that is given to someone. Amen. And everybody here today has been the recipient of the law of the gift. The Bible talks about the law of the gift in James 1:17. It says that every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That passage is dealing with the law of the gift. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world not to be high-minded, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's talking about the law of the gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the law of the gift. Amen. And even in the lesson text read by Brother Braxton, you're dealing with the law of the gift. Because in that context, he said that a certain man called his servants and gave unto each of them a certain amount of money. Now, the King James says 5 talents. Some scholars tell us that was $5,000. He called a second servant, gave unto him 2 talents. Again, scholars tell us that was $2,000. And finally, he called the third or final servant and gave unto him 1 talent or $1,000. These passages deal with the law of the gift. God, we see the law of the gift in the Garden of Eden. Everything Adam and Eve had was given to them. Is that right? Can you say this morning there's something you enjoy, you have in your life, you didn't earn, but you possess? Is that all right? You didn't earn everything you got. You can't say, I did it. No, no, no. You didn't earn everything you got. Some things you got, you didn't have anything to do with. Amen. And we see the law of the gift in the book of Genesis. We see the law of the gift. God, salvation is a gift. We don't earn salvation. We go into heaven, but it ain't because we earned it. In fact, we can't negotiate for salvation. We can't barter for salvation. Amen. We can't bribe God for salvation. The Bible says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. There are some things I have I didn't earn, but I sure need them. Nobody is a greater gift giver than God. The Bible says he delights in exercising loving kindness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. When Jesus told a parable about a man, about prayer, about a man at midnight, Jesus said in the verse, he said, if you being evil know how to give unto your children good gifts, yes, How much more does the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So nobody can beat God in giving gifts. This day is a gift. This is the day the Lord has made. When you woke up this morning, that was a gift to you. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Is that right? Your intelligence is a gift. Your ability is a gift. Your creativity is a gift. Your family is a gift. Your friends, if you got something that's worthwhile, is a gift. Are y'all hearing this? Some people have the gift of making money. Some people just have a gift to make money. Some people have a gift to attract prosperity. That's a gift. Some people have the gift to know how to create businesses and not only create it, run it. Amen. My health is a gift. Amen. Maybe I ain't as well as I want to be, but I can walk on my own power. I can get up out the chair without assistance. Amen. That's a gift. I'm saying a lot of things that God has given to me. I didn't earn it. I didn't earn my 6 beautiful children. I didn't earn them. That was a gift to me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't earn them, but we sure thank God for quality folks in the body of Christ. You don't earn that. That's a gift. The Lord has given us no greater gift than Jesus. He's the greatest gift of all, and can't nobody beat God. Given. You see, everybody here has dealt with the law of the gift. And you want some more gifts too. I want some more. Do you want to see some more days? Will you earn them? You want to earn them, but you sure want to receive them, don't you? So I want some more help. I want some more strength. Is that right? I thank God for putting shoes on my feet, Sam White. I thank God for putting clothes on my back. I thank God for putting food on my table. I thank God for putting joy in my heart. I thank God for putting a song on my lips. I tell you, all of us have come under the law of the gift. Just think about the things you got in your life right now. You didn't earn. And sometimes we act like we earned it. Amen. Well, that brings us into view the second law. The law of the gift brings into view the law of expectation. When one receives a gift, and that's why the great Solomon said, of all you're getting, get understanding. Now, when you're given gifts, I mean, if I pay my child's college tuition and send him spending money, I don't expect him to come burn the house down in appreciation. Is that all right? And I'm saying, when God give us gifts, unto whom much is given, much is. You see, if God allowed you to get a master's degree, bachelor's degree, PhD, You say, well, I did that. Yeah, but if he hadn't blessed her, you couldn't have done it. Is that all right? And I'm saying to you, under whom much is given, much is required. There's a level of expectation that comes to all of our lives because we have been the recipients of the gift. Is that right? Well, expectation is a standard of performance of behavior that is expected of somebody. You see, all of us got expectations. Is that right? If an athlete gets a mega dollar contract and doesn't perform, we say he didn't deserve it. So if an athlete is given mega bucks, that is a level of expectation that is expected. Whenever you give somebody something, there's a level of expectation that comes with it. My life is God's gift to me. What I do with my life is my gift to God. My salvation is God's gift to me. What I do with my salvation is my gift to God. Is that right? There's a level of expectation that goes to every life. Amen. You know, churches expect certain things of preachers. Preach malls. Amen. And church leaders. The public expects certain things of elected officials. Is that right? If we've given an elected official our trust, then there are some things that we expect. Is that correct? I'm saying this morning that wives expect certain things of their husbands. Oh, at least I heard the sister say amen on that one.
Amen.
Praise God. And I'm saying this morning that husbands expect certain things. And let me just say to you, don't you get married if you can't deliver expectations. Preach, Moss. Amen. That's right. And there are certain things that parents expect from their children. I don't expect for you to be talking back. Hello? Giving me a hard time being disrespectful. I ain't expecting that, and I don't want that. Is that all right? There are certain things that children expect from their parents. You expect for them to put a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in, food to eat, and all that rent-free. Is that all right? I'm saying that when certain things are given, there are levels of expectation. What does God expect of me? He's given me so much. Can I say amen to that?
Amen.
What does he require of me? Am I living my life like I am responsible and accountable? You know, sometimes the power of perspective is very important. Sometimes we misread situation because of the power of perspective. Sometimes people talk about what I don't have rather than what I do have. Now, if you're around here worrying about what you don't have, look at what you got. Some people say, if I had more, I'd do more. No, you got the principle wrong. The principle is faithful in a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Is that right? You say, well, how you know you do more if you had more?
Right.
You make it more money than you ever made in your life. Are you giving more to the Lord? Amen. Sometime, you know, you see, God can do a lot with a little. God can do a lot with a little. He made this world out of atoms. He made oceans out of drops of water. He made time out of seconds. He took a nobody shepherd boy and turned him into a somebody king. He took 12 ignorant and unlearned men and turned them into ambassadors for Christ. He took the chief of sinners and turned him into a globe-trotting apostle. One day down in Zarephath, when the widow of Zarephath thought she was going to die, God kept putting oil and meal in her barrel. God can do a lot with a little. God is looking at what you're doing with what you got. You say, well, I got this old raggedy car, bet no car. Worst kind of car trouble you can have when the engine won't start and the payments won't stop. You got car trouble then. Is that all right? If you can be faithful in what he's already. See, nobody here can say, nobody can say he hadn't given you nothing. You might say, well, I ain't got no big old house over there in that gated community. That may be true, but you still can't say he haven't given you nothing. You alive this morning, you breathing? He gave you that. Is that right? So sometimes we get confused about I do more. You know, brothers and sisters, it's time to stop talking about it. It's time to do it. Amen. Amen. And as I look at my thoughts and my habits and my behavior, amen, what am I doing with what he gave me? You see, the 12 spies said, we're grasshoppers. See, perspective is something else. It's something else where you look at things. Unto whom much is given, much is required. Whatever God gave you, he gave you salvation. How many say it is more? Amen. Then something is required. Here's the final point. The law of increase. You see, in the kingdom of God, there's a law. In the church of Christ, there is a law of increase. Unto whom the greater your gifts, the greater the expectations. You can't walk around here with a Rolls Royce intelligence and give God a Volkswagen productivity. Now, some of y'all are world class folks. You got all kind of talent. You see, the problem with the man in the parable, God gave him $1,000, Bird. That was the gift. That's the law of the gift. But that was a, you see, you can't give back to God what he gave you. You can't say in the end, well, Lord, I gave you back what you... No. You got to give him that back with interest. The man, he gave $5,000 or 5 talents. What is he giving you? You know, one of the most disturbing things that frightens me is, am I living up to my ability and my potential? Now that disturbs my thinking. Folks might say, well, you're doing great, but deep down inside, all of us know if we're giving it our best shot. Oh, yeah, we know. The man with the $5,000, Sister Johnson, he went out and he gained 5,000 more. And God said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So you mean tell me you go to college, God let you get a student loan, or somebody, you get a scholarship, and you get a first class education, and you producing like somebody didn't finish high school. Unto whom much is given, much is required. You see, God knows all of our intelligence quotient. The other man, he gave $2,000, Brother Jeremy, or 2 talents. He went out and he produced $2,000. He didn't just give God back. You see, the law of the gift brings into play the law of expectation. The law of expectation comes into play the law of increase. We all got to increase. I got to get better. And then the man he gave the least amount of money. Well, if I had more money, well, how you doing with the money you got? How you managing the money you got? Something to think about, ain't it? Well, if I had that Jay-Z and Beyonce money, what would you do? What would you do? Unto whom much is given, what? Well, the man with 1 talent said, well, I knew you was a hard man when you gave me this money. And I knew you gathered where you hadn't straw. And I was afraid. I'm living my life so afraid, I'm not producing nothing. We're here to glorify God. I'm here to do the best I can. I got to position myself to do the best I can. Can you say amen to that? He saved me to do the best I can. He has given unto me a lot of stuff. And I can say the same thing about you. Well, here, I'm giving you back what you gave to me. He said, you wicked and you slothful servant. Why didn't you put my money to the exchanges and produce interest? I gave you $1,000. You just gave me back $1,000. The law of increase comes into play. What's the law of increase? Be ye steadfast, unmovable. What? Always. The church should get better every year. The folks in the church should get better every year. Amen. And as long as I'm striving to get better. Is that right? Because the law of increase comes into play. Well, let's think about something. David was a man who had all kinds of issues. I said this morning, the beautiful thing about the love of God, God loves people with all kinds of problems. I may not have your problem, but believe me, I got some. I may not have your hang-ups, but believe me, I got some hang-ups this morning. Is that all right? But yet God loved me in spite of my hang-ups. God loves me in spite of my problem. God loves me in spite of my issues. God loves me in spite of my setbacks. God loves me in spite of my baggage. And yet he tells me, I've given you some gifts. Marcia, if you make it to July, you will be in my world 60 years. What have you produced? Boy, that's something to think about, ain't it? In 60 years of life, what have you produced? In 50 years of life, in 30 years of life, what have you produced? In 20 years of life, what have you produced? Even children expected to learn their ABCs. Is that right? So David got in trouble one day. And he went to a man by the name of Arana. Watch this. It's beautiful. He said to Arana, I need to offer sacrifice to God. I messed up. And you know, when you messed up, fess up. Don't cover it up, fess it up. Because God sees it. Arana said, I will give it to you. He said, no, no. He said, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. And here's what he said. This is power. 2 Samuel 24, 24 is the passage. He said, I will not offer unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. I want to tell you something, brothers. It's going to cost us something to serve Christ. Doesn't it cost you something to work on these jobs? It costs me something every week to preach a quality sermon. I got to get in there and work, y'all. I will not stand before the people of God not prepared. You hear me? And in a sense, I offer this message as an offering to God. David said, I will not give unto God of that which doth cost me nothing. Because God has done too much for me. Lord has been too good to me. And I will not give him that. So Lord, help me to do better. Can you say amen to that? Lord, help me to understand the law of the gift. And I'm telling you, you got some stuff right now you didn't earn. Hello? You enjoying some stuff in your life. You may not have everything you want, but you got a lot of stuff you didn't buy. Hello? I will not give unto God of that which doth cost me nothing. Well, here's what Emerson said. Emerson said, if a man can write a better book, if a man can preach a better sermon, if a man can build a better mousetrap, even though he lives in the woods, the world will make a beaten path to his door. I got to give God the best of my service. Is that all right? And oh, great Bush Hills Church of Christ, so much potential. Amen. And so, in your life, I'm closing now. You need some help to give God your best. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I need some help this morning, Brother Wes. And that's why I can say Brother Harris' favorite scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Is that right? And I'm telling you, I need the Lord in my life. I need the Lord to help me. And I tell you this morning that when it comes down to life and living, God does not desire to be an enlisted man in my life, but God wants to be the commander in chief. I'm telling you this morning, in the movie of my life, God does not want to be a co-star. God wants to be the star. In the airline journey of my life, God does not desire to be the co-pilot, but God wants to be the pilot. In the symphony of my life, God does not desire to be a violin player. God wants to be the conductor of the symphony. Is that all right? I'm telling you this morning, God can't use people who are not willing to deny themselves. God can't use people who are not willing to think like God. God can't use people who are more worried about what people say and what people think and what people do than what's right. God is saying, I don't want to work at the outer edges of your life, but I want to work at the center of your life. Lord, help me as I conclude. Help me to understand the law of the gift. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord. I don't have perfect health, but I'm doing pretty good. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, I have to take some sometime for pain, but thank God for the painkillers. Huh? I thank God for the Advil. Oh yeah, I thank God for the Motrin. I was talking to Bobby Scott yesterday. Bobby told me he had just run a 3K. Is that right? By 5K? 5K? And Bobby said, man, I'm a little sore. I said, well, Bobby, get your Bengay and your Advil. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. And sometimes that's what you have to do. Is that right? I thank God for a church family. We didn't earn this. It was given to us. I thank God for spiritual leadership. Amen. If you got a quality preacher, and I thank y'all for loving me, that's a good thing. Is that all right? If you got quality spiritual leaders, that's a good thing. If you got some folks in your life that's really a friend, thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a friend. And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, there would be a gift with a card attached saying thank you for being a friend. Can you say amen to that? And the best friend I got, Dr. West, is Jesus Christ. And the man has done so much for me. Is that all right? Oh, he left the coast of bright glory to come down here to be my friend. And as the hymnologist said, Brother Spurgeon, I know you like this song. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Is that all right? Well, if I were a nightingale, I'd sing like a nightingale. If I were a sparrow, I'd be lifted up on uplifted wings and I'd soar through the wild blue yonder. But since I'm not a nightingale, since I'm not a sparrow, but since I'm a Christian, I'm going to serve God with the best I got. Is that all right? I'm going to understand the power of the gift. I'm going to understand the power of expectation. And I understand the power of the increase. Is that all right? I heard somebody say, if you can't be a pine on the top of the hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub by the side of the rill. Is that all right? If you can't be a tree, be a bush. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, just be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. Is that all right? And through Christ, I can be the best of whatever I am. Is that all right? I see a man walking by the Jordan. He's wiping tears from everybody's eyes. I never knew a man like this before who can open anybody's door. Is that all right? And I see this man walking by the Jordan and he's saying, Sister Johnson, follow me. Follow me. Is that all right? Follow me and I'll make you a better man. Follow me and I'll make you a better woman. Follow me, I'll make you a better boy. Follow me, I'll make you a better girl. Is that all right? Follow me, I'll make you a better father. Follow me, I'll make you a better mother. Follow me, I'll make you a better brother. Follow me, I'll make you a better sister. Is that all right? Follow me, I'll make you a better preacher. Follow me, I'll make you a better elder. Follow me, I'll make you a better song leader. Follow me, I'll make you a better businessman. Follow me, I'll make you a better human being. Is that all right? Follow me and you'll have the time of your life. Follow me and you'll be so glad that you did. Follow me. Follow me. And I'll turn your midnight into daylight. Is that all right? So in conclusion this morning, I want to wrap this thing up. And that is, unto whom much is given. Amen. If God gave you 5 talents, you can't use 2. Everybody here has a gift to make this world better. Is that right? Is that correct? Is that right? And if God has given you much of you, is much required. But let me say this, lest you get the wrong idea. Even if God gave you a little, something is required. The proof of that is the poor widow. What does she have? 2 mites. She wasn't a millionaire or a billionaire. Rich folks came and put in. Christ didn't condemn them. Don't miss the point. He simply said she gave more than them all. Even in the sacrificial system under the Old Testament, a poor man didn't have to offer a bullock or a bull. Brother Wyatt, a poor man couldn't afford a bull. But he had to offer a sacrifice. So you know what God did in his wisdom? God let him offer some pigeons or turtle doves. See, God ain't looking at what you don't have. God don't expect for you to give money you ain't got. Hello? And books you don't read can't help you. I said books you don't read can't help you. Is that right? So in control, would you stand, please? That's the message. Unto whom much is given. And I want to say thank you, Lord. Pray with me. Thank you, Father. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for the gifts you've given unto us. Thank you for the giftedness of the Bush Hills Church of Christ. Thank you for the intelligence. Thank you for the creativity that you've given to this ministry. And Lord, help us to go to the next level as a church. Help us, Lord, to magnify your name and glorify your name. And help us, Lord, to understand that unto whom much is given, much is required. Thank you for the law of the gift. Thank you for the law of expectation. And thank you for the law of increase. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Let's say together, amen. The Lord's invitation is extended this morning. If there's one here that wants to hear the invitation, we come by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized. Rest of y'all stand up now. We ain't through. Oh, y'all sat down. I didn't mean to trick y'all, but amen. We're going to sing the invitational song. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear? my humble cry. You know that why on earth the stop or call. Oh, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, sir. Oh, Savior, why don't you hear my humble cry? You know that why on earth dost thou art called? Oh,